Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to request you to believe God with me that my accent will not be too heavy for you to hear what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this morning. So believe with me that this morning I won't have very heavy accent. I am Pastor J.J. Maina from the Republic of Kenya. Kenya is becoming so much popular in the world nowadays because God is raising his ministers from there, and also God is sending Americans to Kenya as missionaries, whereby I believe most of you, soonest possible, including my pastor here, you'll be ministering in Kenya. I thank God because of this morning, and I praise God because of the life of Reverend Don, because he ministered in our church, and he is one of the men who are always remembered there, because he was the first international speaker to preach in our church. And by that connection, I am standing here. I don't want to talk much about myself for now. I believe God will give us time sometimes later to discuss our personalities. But now, let me go direct to the Word of God. Let's see what the Bible says, the book of John, chapter number 7 and verse number 37. John chapter 7, verse number 37. Are you there with me? Verse number 37, the Bible says, on the last day, greatest day, I can, some people are not there, okay, let's go together. John chapter number 37, verse number 37. On the last day and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. We can pause there. This is Jesus talking. In my understanding, I understand he was winding up his ministry. And this was his last feast. And the Bible says that he stood on the last day, the great day of the feast, and said in a very loud voice. He said in a very loud voice, if anyone is thirst, let him come to me and drink the water. He went further and said, whoever believes in me, he no longer need to drink water, but within him there will be water, or the rivers of the living water within you. And this is the meaning of the gospel. This is the deep understanding of the word salvation. This is the understanding of Christianity. To be a Christian or to be called a Christian is not a good name for the good people. Most of us think Christian is a good name given to good people. But Christian is to be like Christ and to do whatever Christ was doing. Brothers and sisters, this is the time the Word of God is uniting the world. If you can just sit down and watch your TVs, there are a lot of evil things happening in America. Somebody walking on a shooting spree. Somebody, I don't know where, Oklahoma or somewhere, we saw in the TV, entered into the church with a gun and shot dead 7 people, including the pastor. Another day, somebody got in the immigration office and killed 15 people. In my country, Kenya, 2 weeks ago, a group of young men took the slashers. You call them slashers? This thing we use to cut things? How do you call them? Mashari, yes. And killed 29 people one night. Breaking in the house, chop your head. Breaking out of the house, take your head. These things are happening in Africa, in America, everywhere in the world. And this is the high time for Christians to stand up and be like Christ. Allow the livers of the living water to flow. I sometimes when I'm reading this scripture, I try to understand the meaning of the water. Or why, or what is water all about. If I can give you a piece of paper and ask you to write down the only four meaning of the water. I know most of you can like many things. But one thing can be common to all of us, that water is life. Water is life. Without water, there is no life. So when Jesus was saying that within you, I'll make the livers of the living water, he wanted, or he was meaning that when he will depart to heaven, the Holy Spirit will come upon us and the ministry of giving life that he was carrying will go ahead. We will continue with the ministry of giving life to the lifeless. We will continue transforming. We will continue talking about his goodness. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, we are not here for the purpose of being here. You are not alive for the sake of being alive. You are not there because you are there. You are there with a purpose. You are there because God wanted you to be there for the purpose. The time for us to be sitting down in the church has passed. It's gone. Another preacher in my country surprised me one morning. He came to my office and he gave me his vision. He's a preacher. He gave me his vision. You know what he told me? Pastor JJ, I'm believing God will give me money. And by the end of this year, I will build a very big church that will have 6,000 seaters. And I was, huh? 6,000 seaters. And I asked him, Mr. Pastor, what do you want to do with the seaters? Because Jesus said, go ye into the nations and make people be my disciples. But here my brother is telling me he wants to make seaters. Just people who will come in the church, sit. Wake up, go home. Come on Sunday, sit. Wake up, go home. Next month, sit. Wake up, go home. 6,000 seaters. Can you see the exercise? You better even say 6,000 footballers, because they will be doing something, rather than seaters. Jesus is making disciples, but we pastors have changed them to seaters. They come to church and sit and watch things happening. I really like the good work the worship team was doing on the altar. I admire to see my sister there playing the guitar. I wish this team can one day come to Kenya. And charge people, charge our sisters even to play guitar, because most of Kenyans believe playing guitar is work of men. So I liked it. Because most of us have liked the comfort of sitting down in the church and watch things happening. But Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, in you, I will put a river in you. So every one of us, not pastor, not bishop, not reverend, everybody who says Jesus is the Lord, in him there is a river. A river that can give life through music, through worship, through giving, through tithe, through worshiping, through donations, through visiting the sick, visiting the hospitals, visiting the prisoners, giving the word of hope. In you there is a river. Do not let that river dry. Do not let that liver dry, because the blood of Jesus is so strong, it unites us. In Jesus there is no white or black. In Jesus there is no old or young. In Jesus we are all called the sons of God. And I was asking, why are we all sons of God? I came to realize that God does not have grandsons. God does not have grandsons.
All of us are sons of God. All of us. And so, Jesus said that, if you believe in me, I'll make these rivers flow from you. Wherever you are, in America, in Europe, in Africa, you have liver in you. And when liver moves, it gives life to the trees that were dying. It gives life to the leaves. It gives life to the grass. It gives life to people and animals. So I want to tell you that you don't belong to yourself. Most of us think you are there for yourself. You are not there for yourself. You are there for service. You are there to serve God the day called today. Tomorrow is not yours. One preacher told me that yesterday belongs to Satan because he dwells with the past. Today belongs to you, and tomorrow belongs to God. There is one of your presidents who was called Abraham Lincoln. There is something he said, that God gives you the day of birth and the day of death. The day you are born and the day you'll die. But the days in between here are your days. To leave a legacy. To leave an inheritance. To do something that you can be remembered for. This is the time for you to keep, to make your eulogy. Do you call it eulogy? Do you know what, do you call it eulogy? The story that we read about you during the burial? Eulogy, the way people read, he was born on this date, he went to this school, he graduated here, he had three master's degrees, he had institutions, he was professor, he was a mother of five, he had three cars, he had a big farm, that's a eulogy. But let me tell you, in Christianity, we are not supposed to live such kind of a eulogy. We are supposed to live this kind of a eulogy. He was a believer. He introduced an institution. He was mother to the motherless. He was the father to the fatherless. He would give you a shoulder to lean on. He was encourager. He was a mover of things. He could make things move. I was telling Reverend Don yesterday night that when I will die, I don't want people to come to my burial and say how many children I had, or how many wives I had, or how many degrees I had. But I want somebody who will come and say, I was hungry one day and Pastor JJ gave me food. I was naked one day and he clothed me. That is the legacy I would like to set to leave behind. So from the day of your birth to the day of your death, when the day will, death will come, in between there, it is your time to let the rivers in you flow and give life to the lifeless. To encourage. I thank God because we are not for the river of God. The rivers that gives life. I would not be here today. I come from a very, 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 very simple background. A very simple background where even having food to eat was a problem when I was young. I am a son of a single mother in a family of 11. And I'm the ninth. And miraculously, I have never called anybody daddy. I don't know who he is. But I thank God because I have made it today. Because of the power of the cross. And despite growing in poverty, having difficulty to access the education, God has provided His goodness to me. In a way, let me put it this way. When you believe in Jesus, He gives you the river of the living water. That means whatever you needed is available within you. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we pray God for miracles that we think they are very far, and we expect a miracle to bring them to where we are. But what the Bible says is within you, there will be the rivers of the living water. So most of the things we pray for are within us. For example, when Adam needed a wife or a companion, Adam was, the Bible says, he was living in sadness. He was never happy. And God planned to give him a helper, to create a helper. Can somebody tell me where the material to create a helper were found? Where did God get the material? From London? No. From Minnesota? No. Where God got the material to create a wife? For Adam. Where was the material? Within? Within him. So whatever you need, if you are a believer, is within you. Amen. not very far from you. It's just around there. If you can remember when Jesus healed the blind, where he was standing is where Jesus spit his saliva, mixed the soil, put it on his eyes, and he received his sight. The soil was just there where he was standing. Some miracles are not very far from where we are. It is just where you are. You remember the disciples who are going to Emmaus, speaking goodness of Jesus and how he was crucified, how he was persecuted, and they were talking about how good he was and how bad he was handled. And Jesus joined them. They could not know that he is Jesus. And to some extent, one of them rebuked him. He asked them, "Do you mean you live in Jerusalem alone? You didn't know what has happened?" And it's Jesus himself. But the Bible says when they got in the house and they had the bread, they gave Jesus the bread. When he broke the bread, their eyes were opened. They realized who was among them. Most of the times our eyes don't see because we never break the bread. That's why we don't realize what is happening around us. That's why sometimes we don't understand our capability. We don't understand our potentiality. Because we don't break the bread. And the bread is who? Jesus is the bread of life. When you know him deeper, you are able to open up your eyes, even these physical eyes, and to see what you are ought to do, at what time and where, and how. Hallelujah. If I am given the authority by the pastors of this church, I can declare today is the end of having sitters in the church. Can we declare that? We no longer have sitters. We have the rivers. Amen. Amen. That where you are seated, you are making trouble. Where you are seated, you are making trouble. Because there is liver coming out of you. Coming out of you. You are feeling like shouting glory. You are feeling like going out to preach. You are feeling like going out and dance. You are feeling like jumping and dancing. Because in you there is liver. Yeah. The time for a very cold, cool church is gone. Because devil is no longer cool. When devil is doing things, he is not cool. He do mass killings. He do destructions. But when you come to church, you get people, even when you are coming inside the church, they are walking in a mood of holiness. But I think this is not what we call holiness. To walk slowly and to talk, hello, praise the Lord. That's not salvation. That's not holiness. That's not holiness. That's a comedy. That's a comedy. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. People think that is what we call holiness. No. Holiness is to do the will of God. That's what you call holiness. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. The river in you, when you say Jesus is the Lord, the river, you are given a river. Don't die with that water in you. Give it out. Don't die with your vision. Don't die with your vision. I thank God because the work that was done by missionaries in Africa, it will not die. Because men of God like Reverend Don and the rest are waking up again, coming back to Africa to do the follow-up, to revive the work of the missionaries. Amen. Amen. Because if you don't come there, the work that was done by your fathers will have no results. There is no good work without follow-up. If you plant a seed today, you'll come there tomorrow to follow it up, to see how it is developing. The work that was done by your fathers in Africa needs you again to come there and follow it up. Yes. Amen. Amen. Africa needs you. Africa needs missionaries. And your fathers, I think your fathers were so good, and I don't believe they were good or they were better than you, because they came there and introduced Jesus. They preached to us. So some of them came from England. But the biggest work that is done in Africa is done by Americans. Many churches that are built in Africa, Reverend Don, they are not built by Scotland or Scottish. They are built by Americans.
The Bible schools we have there, they are built by Americans. The evangelists that are there, some of them are sons and daughters of Maurice Rowe. Some of them are sons of T.D. Jakes. Yes, some of them are sons of Benny Hinn. So the fire that is in Africa now is from America. It is your work now even to train these young ones to be missionaries. And start it now before devil takes over. They start spreading that fire. They start doing it. They start letting people drink the water. Amen.
Amen.
Because you are not there for yourself. If I can take you to a journey in the book of Daniel chapter 4. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream. And in the dream he saw a very big tree standing in the land. And this big tree, there was food for all on it. Also the Bible says, in it the animals found shelter. And in the same tree, the birds found shelter in the tree's branches. So this tree was not there for itself. The tree was providing shadow or shelter to the wild beasts. The tree was providing a living place for the birds of the air. And the Bible goes further and says, when the tree was cut down, the animals and the birds of the air flew away because they could no longer have a shelter. Please listen to me. You may look at yourself and probably think you are not meaningful. But in you, there are birds who have a place to live. In you, you give shelter to some animals. And in you, you can make one body live today. In you, your life has got very many who benefit from it.
Yes.
Don't think you are there for yourself. Yes. Sometimes when I'm doing counseling over the radio in Kenya, I do tell people, never think of committing suicide. And if at all you have to commit suicide, don't do it before you see me. Yes. That is what I tell them over the radio. Don't try to commit suicide before we meet. And some of them just come to my office and tell me, Pastor JJ, I want to commit suicide, but last night you said that we have to see you first. Yes. Yeah, I say, yes, you have to see me first so that we may discuss the matter with you. We try to evaluate, to look at it from all directions, and we see whether the solution is only death. If we see the solution is death, I will help you how to die faster. If the solution is death. But do you believe the solution of problems is death?
No.
Death is killing yourself. It's a sign of cowardice. You are running away from a problem.
Right.
And the problem will follow you to the grave. You can't run away to a problem. Problem is a spirit. It will follow you wherever you go.
Amen.
But men of God face the problem. And whenever these people come to my office, I tell them, you don't need to kill yourself. Because in you, there are very many people benefiting. And I can preach this to Americans. If I can get a chance to talk in the TV. If I can get a chance to be in your radios. I can tell Americans, we should not kill each other. We should not kill ourselves. Why should you? Can I tell you something? Let me use this sister. Come, we preach, my sister.
Go, girl.
Let's preach with this sister. Do you look at her the way she is? She is alone here. But hundreds of people feed from her. Hundreds of people. She is alone. What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah is just one individual standing here. But in her, there are 100 offices. Offices in her that people come in and get help. Can I show you the offices? She is a daughter of somebody. If that person wants to talk to her daughter, she comes to this office. Because this is the office called my daughter. That's all. She is a sister to somebody. If somebody wants to see a sister, she comes to Sarah, nowhere else. She is a sister to him. He is a mother, if she has children. And when those kids want to go to their mother, this is the place they go, nowhere else. This is the office of a mother. Those are how many offices now? 3. Let's continue counting. She is a wife of somebody. When that man wants the services of a wife, this is the office she comes in. He comes here for the of wife services. Here. So, that's another office. Where he buys things in the shop, you call them what?
Customer? She's a customer. Where he went for the shopping, they call her customer. That's another office. Where she goes to make her hair in the salon, they call her our customer. So her hair only feeds somebody. So if you cut her head now, you deny somebody else food. Because his head is very important. Look at her lips. Her lips are so important to somebody. Because of the some makeup she applies. The company that makes those makeups, if you kill this lady, you are destroying the business of that company. Look at her feet. She is wearing some shoes. The company that makes these shoes, if you kill this woman today, you destroy the business of that company, and somebody somewhere will not eat to that night. That is, she is all, you know, if she has children, she takes to school, she is a parent of that school. She is now here in the church. Pastor calls her my member. It's another office. She has very many hands. I can't be able even to count them. So by killing yourself, Sarah, you deny most of us some offices where we go help. Okay, listen to me. If you have problem with one of the offices, probably your marriage is not going on well, that does not mean you deny us, because it is only one office has got a problem. The office of a husband and wife. The children are okay with you. Pastor is okay with you. Where you buy things, those people are okay with you. Where you go to salon, those people are okay with you. The only person who is having problem with you is the husband. Why should you kill yourself because of one person, whereas 100 people are okay with you? God bless you. Give her a clap. So, brothers and sisters, as I conclude this morning, I want to tell you that you are so important, and in you there is a lot for others. Don't die with the rivers of the living water in you. Don't continue being a sitter. You are a disciple. I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. That was the message of Jesus to Peter. Follow me, Peter. I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. And whatever Jesus was doing is follow me. Wherever he goes, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And then he said, when he was concluding his ministry, he said, I now give you all the power and authority. Go ye into the nations and make people be my disciples. Pastor, time for the church to sit down is gone. Amen? Amen. Time for the members to sit down is gone. We are there now to let the rivers flow everywhere. Were it not for somebody who gave me hope, I would be just like any other Kenyan. I would have joined the young people. I'm not old. I'm just 34 years old. But I have managed to have a church in the center of Nairobi. I have managed to be in the radio. I have managed through struggle and using my salary to preach the gospel. I thank God my wife is okay with that. Because sometimes we are left without food. Because all the money we have has gone to the gospel. And one day my wife asked me, we had not paid our house for 2 months. She asked me, you want our house to be closed so that we may preach? You know what I told her? I belong to my maker. And all what I have is for the kingdom. I'm kingdom oriented. And when you are kingdom oriented, God can command a raven to feed you. Like what he did to Elijah. Let me conclude it this way. You are just a normal person like non-believers. The way you look like, the way I look like, I'm just a normal person. I have the body. And my body is mortal. I can die like any other person. What is the difference between us and the rest? The difference is here. There are very many birds in the air. But God chose raven to feed Elijah. So the difference between us and them, we are chosen. We are chosen. Like the way raven was chosen. Number two. You remember Jesus when he was going to Jerusalem. He sent his disciples to go and untie a colt. A donkey. You call it donkey? Yes, a donkey that was tied somewhere. And the donkey was brought. He rode on the donkey. When he rode on the donkey, immediately or automatically, donkey got some values. more than other donkeys. This is the difference between us and them. Because it, you know one thing, let me tell you. In my village where I was born, we have three donkeys. And we have very many donkeys in Kenya because we don't have water. If I'll have time later to tell you, we feed the water we use back home is the water that donkeys drink, cows and the dogs of village. And because it is a dam, you call it a dam, a man-made dam, you stop the water, you call that pool of water, you call it a what?
Reservoir.
That pool of water that comes from the village, collecting all the waste, dirty, all the trash, to this, that pool of water, that is where we go and get fresh water to drink. We don't have any chemical to freshen them or to clean them. That is the water I have been brought on, and that is the water my mother is drinking even right now. I was telling Reverend John in August, I'll take you home, up country where I have come from, to see the difficulties we have. But I want to say this. The donkey that Jesus asked for to be brought to him was just a normal donkey, like any other donkey. And in Kenya, we have special food for cows, special food for sheep, special food for chicken, but there is no food for donkey. Donkey, you only put the luggages on the donkey and you continue striping it to force it to move. But this time round, when Jesus rode the donkey, he added donkey some value. Because it was the first time people removed their jackets, scattered them on the road for the donkey to pass on it. I can't tell you when last did people do that to you. Can you remember when last did people put... Can you remember when last the people put their jackets on the road for you to pass on them? But they did it to donkey. Why? Because donkey was carrying the master.
Yes.
By you carrying the master, you have a lot of value. You are noticeable. Even wherever you go, in a hotel, in a restaurant, you carrying the master. You are noticeable. And so you don't fear even the spirit of death. Another pastor was coming to Kenya and they had an air crash. When the pilot said that the plane is crashing in the Indian Ocean, the pastor continued sleeping. And the man was like, "Man of God, wake up, we are dying, we are dying, we are dying." And he woke up and asked, "What? We are dying." And he said, "You are dying, not me." He went on sleeping. And the plane crashed in the ocean, but God helped him. He clung on the seat, and one of the plane wings did not sink. So, he swam and got to the wing, and now he clung there. The Air Force that had gone there to rescue them noticed and saw him where he was, and they saved him. Only to go back to the hotel in Mombasa, change his clothes, and proceeded to the conference. Because he knew who he is carrying. He is carrying the master. So you don't need to fear anything. All what you are supposed to know is that you have some value. Though you look like others, though you walk like others, you work with them, you eat like them, you wear like them, you are more valuable. Because he knew you carry the master. So may God bless you. May God bless you this morning. May God bless you as you go home. But go today thinking and deciding to stop being a sitter in the church. Join the choir, join the praise team, join the evangelism, join the missionaries. Be busy for the Lord. Serve God the day called today before we join the rest in the grave. Where the Bible says there is no planning, there is no thinking, there is no working. It is permanent silence. Before we go there to the permanent silence, let's serve the Lord.
Yes.
With our strength, with our resources, with our energy, with our thinking, and with all what we have.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to Kenya anytime, and God bless you. I believe that today, I'm gonna pray for some people. But before then, let me have my pastor here to give me some guidance. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Okay, so I thought of two words that describe my brother while he's up here. Passion and energy. I got tired just of watching him. But I had not met Pastor JJ before this morning, and I freely admit that I did not always understand every word that he spoke, but I understand his spirit, and it's one that we can identify with here, and it was a blessing. I thank you. I particularly like what he said, no more cedars. We don't need any more cedars. We need believers. We need believers. And his message has been exactly one that I've been reading through a book, and has been actually one that's been stirring in me. That, you know, this isn't the church, the building and, you know, the seats. The church is who we are. And the church is grown, is developed in relationship with one another, reaching out for a spiritual son, a spiritual daughter, and blessing them. And I plan to be preaching on that next time I'm up to preach. I really appreciate his heart. You all who have been here for a while, you know the heritage of this house. You know who we are. And I know who you are, because if you weren't who you are, you wouldn't be here. You are a giving people. You are a generous people. And you know the biblical mandate that when we have someone comes who serves us, who teaches us, that we send them away blessed, that we send them away glad that they came here to the Patuxent River Assembly of God. Chris, if you come forward, we're going to do now a special... Okay, we're going to do a... You want to do that right now? We're going to do a special offering for Pastor JJ, but I'm being interrupted, so...
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Pastor JJ, 80% of Kenyans make less than a dollar a day. Okay? I don't know if we can imagine that. Now, even though he has a couple thousand people come to his church every weekend, okay, he has staff to take care of these people. He has 3 full-time pastors. In Kenya, you have to pay the musicians on your worship team, because, well, they do services all week, number one, but they just won't stay. They'll go somewhere else because they don't have the liberty that we have to have a job and just play music on weekends and things like that. But he pays his staff and most of the time makes up the rent for the building out of his own money on a regular basis. So when he talks about the things he's doing out in the villages, he didn't tell you about the soccer teams that he's raised up in one district. There's 12 youth soccer teams. Once kids graduate 8th grade, if they don't qualify for secondary school or a tech school, then they're done. And most of the time they end up getting in trouble. So he created a soccer league, has 12 teams. He goes and has a playoff once a year and rewards them with, you know, pretty good chunk of money for being the winners, and they get shoes and clothes and things like that. So part of the vision here is we're going back to Kenya and bringing a team in August. And there's some flexibility on dates. There's certain things that I'm going to do and there's certain things the team's going to come do. But long story short, we want to dig some wells in these villages where there's no fresh water. Okay, where people drink from the pool of water where the animal waste is and the people waste is. And that's how they lived. And so that's the kind of things that we're focused on doing. And if you want to be a part of this trip this year in August or a future trip, just see me. You're going to see a video right now as we take up the offering of my trip last November.
Hold on just the video right for just a second. There's one last thing. Go ahead. One last thing that I wanted to touch upon what Don said is, you know, the offering that we're about to take is not just for an energetic pastor who just came up and blessed us with a word. It's sowing into the life of the nation of Kenya. And so I encourage you that when Chris comes around, to be generous as you always are. You continually amaze me in the way you are blessing in this house. So I thank you. I was going to mention something else, and I didn't. One other thing that I would mention, too, is that Pastor JJ has written a book about, it's called The Family Light. It's just chapter after chapter, it's just another aspect of family living. Parenting, what a man likes, what a woman likes, so on. So that's going to be in the back on the way out. It's $20, and that will also go toward raising funds for our house. Okay, let's go ahead and roll out. You ready, Tim? Here we go.
This might hurt. Not safe, but I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life.